All right. Well, welcome to Gamers with Coffee, where we're going to do a commute edition, but it's like 105 degrees here.
Yeah. So we're doing a beat the heat edition by staying in the air conditioning since Clint's car doesn't have air conditioning. Yeah. But it is outside, so it's close by and it still counts.
Yeah. So this won't be a commute one. It'll just be a, that's a good one there, Clint. Beat the heat.
Beat the heat. Yeah. Well, really, yeah.
Gamers with Coffee was hot enough anyways.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
So Clint's really excited. I think somebody's actually giving him an adrenaline shot on this. So this one's going to be about what? BattleTech?
Mostly about BattleTech, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want to touch on tripods and triplanes too. So, but for the most part, it is going to be about the BattleTech Kickstarter and BattleTech game in general. So since Catalyst Lab Games did release BattleTech, and we are on BattleTech's 35th anniversary, the starter set's already out. So if you guys really want to get into BattleTech, which is where I started, that's how I got into gaming. $20 for a main starter box, you can't beat it for what you get for miniatures and everything. If you really want to go high end, it's $60 for the advanced box set with the advanced rules, extra miniatures, worth the money. So that one's been out, just actually the $60 set's just now in stores. They finally got enough in stock to actually have retailers stock up again. Plus you can still get all the old stuff for BattleTech. There are right now are no mech expansion packs. For those of you who play BattleTech, you'll know what I mean by mech expansion pack or lance pack or anything. The old Iron Wind Metal stuff had expansion packs. They technically do work for the game. I think the scale is just a little off, but not too bad. So they did drop their Kickstarter, and if you've been following our Facebook page, you'll see I've been kind of doing posts regularly on that one.
Is that what you call the spam?
Yes, that's the spam. Yeah,
BattleTech spam.
BattleTech spam. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Hourly updates.
No. So the point with the Kickstarter was for them to do their next expansion, which actually is also a standalone. The rule box with that does come with its own rule book, a whole bunch of different miniatures, and now they're going to start offering the lance packs. So the lance packs are basically five mechs of different types. They're stat cards, they're pilot cards, all the stuff to play the game. It just lets you really expand. I like what they're doing with their maps, too, with giving you actual elevated terrain, even though it's not full realistic elevated terrain. It's still better than just a two-dimensional cardboard print. The clan expansion.
What do you mean by that? Just to back up for a second, on the terrain.
The original BattleTech maps were nice heavy-duty cardboard, but everything was two-dimensional. So your hills said hill.
Hill dimension.
BattleTech. Oh, all right, so I'll back up a little bit. BattleTech is played on a hex grid. Your mechs, most of the old ones and the ones that Catalyst released now, have a hex grid base molded to the bottom of the miniature. Because you use the hex grid to determine your facing when you're turning.
Gotcha.
Rule system for BattleTech is just cakewalk simple. I mean, it's so easy you can learn in 10 minutes. And it's a lot of fun. But the old maps did have any of your hills. Your hex tiles would actually say hill one, hill two, and it would be printed two or three hexes in to give you an idea of this hex is this elevation, this hex is this elevation, and then they'd have squiggly little drawn hill lines on the map. And that worked great. You knew where a hill was. You could use your imagination. With the new maps...
Sorry. We're in a house, so you might hear the dogs. Yep. I apologize. Yep. They're a little hot.
So with the new maps, they decided to actually give you actual hill terrain. So it's just smaller pieces of the cardboard map that is another elevation. So instead of it saying hill, you just put it on top of the map, and now you can obviously see this is another elevation. You can put another one on top of that, and it's another elevation. You're two or three level of elevations, because the rules do allow you to shoot up or down. They give you bonuses or penalties depending on how you're shooting. It is important to know what elevated level you are on. At some point when we do our unboxing for the BattleTech stuff, and we'll go into the rules a lot more in detail. So, back to the fun. So with the Kickstarter, they're doing the clan expansion. So the clans are a whole nother group of factions that are not part of the original BattleTech scheme. They were brought in back around the 90s originally to really bolster the game, and boy did it bolster the game. Whole bunch of new technology, whole bunch of new story arcs, a whole slew of books. The clans became the standard culture for BattleTech a year or two after release, that people just, it was part of the world. So much so they had to actually alter the storyline where the the core faction was able to push them back enough that they halted their expansion, and the world or the universe kind of melded into one.
So that's huge, because you know all this, and I don't know as much, which is why I'm just letting you talk. But my question here to stop too is clans. How many clans? It's kind of like factions in other groups, right?
Basically.
So you've got, is there just a couple, or is there?
I don't know which, because there were multiple clans by the time the release was done.
Oh, okay.
It does look like this particular release is only going to focus on the four or five main clans.
The main ones?
And that's fine. I always played Clan Wolf, which was the main one anyway. So that's, it's kind of nice to look at it as a whole re-release, a reintroduction, and a whole new generation can look at this game that is actually very much still the same rule system. So that's a tried and true rule system. I bought Battletech when it was new, and that was in 1986. It was a new concept in gaming. It took the board game to a whole new level back then.
So I didn't realize it's been that long. I do remember when it came out, and I do remember the talk about it then. Sadly, I never got into it then. I was busy.
Yeah, it was a beautiful, simple game. And I paid $20 for the box set. And that was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
But you got a lot. You got a bunch of two-dimensional cardboard tokens, the maps, all the rule books, the sheets, all pre-done sheet for each mech. Then eventually you got rule books to let you build your own mechs. And I do see this as being an option eventually, is to customize the mechs the way you want, because it is designed to be customized. I personally, if you're going to play Battletech, you can play it by the advanced rules. You use the heat tables. You use your alternate this and that. And at some point, I will go into their missile system, because it is just brilliant. But in order to do that, I got to explain the rules more, and I'm going to just touch on that later. I've gotten really good about not tangenting and trying to touch on things
later.
But
it's simple, right?
But
it's
so cakewalk simple.
For some of those people out there.
When I get the starter box and we sit down to play, it will take you literally 10 minutes to figure out how to play. And we will get a full game in within 30 to 40 minutes with probably two mechs each.
We should just try to live stream that to the group, so the group would be able to see what we're doing.
Just use pre-generated mechs and just go to town. Now, the stuff I get in the starter box is all going to be what they call the inner sphere, or the original groups, the original alliances of planets, or the faction of planets, and they call them houses. So it's going to be similar to a feudal system there, and each house owns galaxies, just bunches of planets. Then you've got, I showed you the pictures of the ships. Those are called drop ships. Those are how you drop ships from space onto the planets, everything else. So those play into it. The old rules, which are beautiful, included tanks, hover tanks, grav tanks, wheel track tanks, vehicles. I do see those coming into the game as well, because you can, which means at some point they will release the long tom cannon, which, for those of you who are World War II buffs, the long tom cannon is a wheeled version of the giant German rail gun, and it is measured in boards. So each map is considered a board, and it has so many hexes on it. This gun's stat measured in boards. It would be, how many boards can this gun shoot across?
Holy cow.
By the way, it's five.
Oh,
and you
got to
figure each map is a foot and a half by a foot and a half.
So the table. You got a 4x8 table, it reaches.
It's a long tom artillery gun. It's a beautiful weapon. It's just, you don't have to see it, you just fire it. It does deviate. The rules are actually taken into consideration for missing and where the shot goes. But when it hits, it does incredible damage. It can take out a mech in one shot by itself if it hits perfectly. Otherwise, your mech takes basically splash or area effect damage.
So does it do area damage on other mechs? Like,
it does area damage to everything.
So anything that's in the area where it impacts.
Friend or foe.
Oh!
So you gotta
be careful.
You gotta be careful with your long toms. I really am looking forward to the tanks, because I did in multiple games play tanks with the mechs, and you can run, or you could run tanks with mechs. They work the same way. It's just, you don't have a mech sheet, you have a tank sheet. Movement, stats, all that's the same. Your armor location, your damage stuff, all works the same. It's just a tank instead of a mech. That's the only difference. And mech can punt tanks. There's rules for kicking the tanks or knocking them over.
Punt them?
Yep, you can walk up and kick them. Why wouldn't you be able to? As long as your mech had legs that could do that. I mean, there are some that
don't.
Well,
yeah, I mean, you know, so, I mean, there are.
It's a little hard to kick when you have a quad, but. but yeah, this release. So the Kickstarter itself. they did not expect this. They are asking for $30,000. For those that you know how Kickstarter works, you put out your gear, you put out your nice little video, you put out your pledge levels, you hope you make the pledge level you want. You set a realistic pledge goal, which unfortunately Omnicron Protocol didn't quite set a realistic pledge goal, but they'll be better next time. They set a $30,000 pledge goal. It's BattleTech. They announced it months in advance that this was coming. The hardcore players, the diehard battle people, BattleTech people like me, who were excited about this, funded them in 7 minutes.
That's insane. Minutes. 7 minutes.
$30,000 in 7 minutes. Within 2 hours, they were at over $200,000. I just checked it not too long ago. It's day two. I know you can't see me holding up the two. It's day two out of their 31-day pledge, and they are at $780,000.
In 2 days.
In 2 days.
And they were only asking for 30, and they've got $750,000 at this point.
At that point. And they're scrambling to get stretch goals up. Well, we're exceeding them faster than they can put them up.
It probably blew them away, Clint. It did. They probably were not expecting. They were probably sitting there going, God, well, it's an old game. Hopefully we fund it. And this is just, I mean, this has to be a lot for them to absorb, too. So
what they're doing with the stretch goals is they're now offering you the next 2 years' worth of stuff that they were planning on releasing at some point. They now have the funds, or will have the funds, to make it a reality. So it is, therefore, being offered to the Kickstarter people at a ridiculously reduced rate. They don't give it to you for free. You do have to purchase them at Kickstarter's rate. But I'll tell you right now, for those of you that want other mechs, you want the cards, you want the land specs, yes, you're going to have to wait till March of next year to get it. Buy them from the Kickstarter. Even if you back the Kickstarter at the $5 or $10, whatever their low level is, you'll have access to purchase these. You can't pass it up. The rule box is going to be $40 if you buy it through Kickstarter. It's going to be $60 at retail. Those lance packs are going to be $30 in retail. They're $20 through Kickstarter.
So you have the opportunity to save quite a bit if you're buying in bulk.
You're
going to
save ridiculous. The maps are now upgraded from paper to neoprene. They're going to be $39.95 in the store. You can get them for $30 if you order them. Yeah, you can back it for $20. You can get a few things for free. You could drop $200 or $300 more and get a whole ton of stuff that you weren't expecting to get at, 60% less than you're going to pay retail? And it will arrive when the Kickstarter arrives. It's not going to be, this is going to be out end of 2020. This is going to be out at the beginning of 2021 like they initially thought. You'll get it by, if they can meet their goal, which I think they can with this, you're going to get it by March of 2020. So you're going to get it within less than a year of stuff that you probably wouldn't have got for 2 years or would have been, a big release. It's a boon and a benefit to them because they're going to have to do a lot more production. But these guys already have the production done. These are already designs that they have in place and ready to go. They just weren't expecting to have to make the mold to start the production soon. They already have a production company that's putting out the miniatures. They already have the publishing company that's handling all the publications and the fiction. They already have the writers lined up. Half the stories are already written and done. It's just a matter of getting it to press a little faster. You're going to get the novels sooner. They're finally getting the novels out, and I think there's 3 of them at this point, by the end of this year instead of waiting till the beginning of next year. So if you really love the old BattleTech novels and the story arc and everything, you get it sooner and you get it for free. It's part of your Kickstarter. Back them. Like I said, even if you back it at the $20 level, the fact of the stuff you can purchase is amazing.
Well, you won't have to worry about not getting this because this already exceeded its main goal.
It's a stable U.S. company with U.S. production. It means we don't have to wait for everything to ship from China. And I'm going to jump over tripods and triplanes real quick. I'm not going to say anything bad, because I understand that Ares Games is an Italian company, and they do already have a production company. But guys, you're a year past your deadline date. I am glad to see that it's out there. Please send me my updated shipping information, because I'm one state away, and I still don't know when it's going to arrive, but I know it's shipping to people, and I know people on both coasts have theirs.
Yeah, so it is arriving. It just depends on where you're at.
It's here in the United States. It's in their distribution center in Fort Wayne, Indiana. They're still shipping, at least as of a few hours ago, and they were still shipping. I just have not received anything, so I'm a little sad about that. The only thing I can think why I'm not hearing anything is they're probably shipping everything in alphabetical order, and since I'm at the bottom of the alphabet, I won't hear anything. But they've been shipping for a week now. And I know people in both coasts have their stuff because I can see it on their Facebook page. So come on, guys, please get it out to me. I know by the time
Clint,
this,
Clint wants his.
I want my tripods and tripods.
Yeah, you want
it. We're going to do an unboxing of that. We're going to show you the play on that one. So, wow, I ranted a lot. That was really focused.
That's okay. You were pretty. Yep. That wasn't a rant. You're just really excited.
We get this really cool mic hanging here that I get to use. You know, this the first time I think we've ever done anything serious with it.
Oh, I have. I've done the podcast with some of it, but it's the first time you've got to use this one because
it's an awesome mic.
Well, generally we sit down in the car, but we need to also really kick ourselves in the butt and just start doing a little meeting once a week.
Well,
somehow.
Now that he's not doing swimming and she'll start schooling again, I'll have a little more time. We've got to set some time to throw down some simple games too. Whether we videotape it or just podcast comment on it or whatever, you know, I want to get a Sales of Glory done with those expansions I finally got. I would like to get, you know, tripods and triplanes, a few games of that in, and get Keegan in on that, and get, you know, your wife into that one. And
well, the wife has most of the Warhammer stuff done now.
Yeah,
and I mean the Kill Team. So since you got her into that one there, Clinton introduced her in it.
Yeah.
And now in her Team Yankee stuff. So
I've got Space Wolves assembled and starting to paint for the arena stuff. So that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to using those guys. And we got to bolster your Space Marines. We got to get that done.
My poor Space Marines are done. I'm just waiting to throw down a game. It's kind of hard to do by myself. I mean,
you really need Terminators.
I need to go get a box of those.
More than one that you have.
Yeah.
Trust me. As I've been building lists, it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt.
Poor Keegan is just going to... He loves his Necrons to death, but with us having a 3+ invulnerable save and us basically just walking up and smacking him, and then what our weapons can do to him.
But he has some sort of thing I seen the other day, and Ashley said, don't tell him. Of course, this is a podcast, so he's going to find out. But something to do with, like, fire from the sky or meteor or comets. You can rain that down on the
you
end.
You can. However,
I don't know what it is, though, exactly. I don't know
if that's going to work in every scenario. I think it has to be part of the mission specific guidelines. So if the mission specific guidelines for the mission we're playing does not include that, it's the same with reserves.
Oh, it was because I was watching part of a video where this lady on YouTube loves Necrons, and so she's known as the Necron Queen.
Yeah.
And so she's just devastating in tournaments and everything. So I can't remember her name, but I've seen a couple of her videos. So that's where I'm like, what is this thing she's putting on the table? This huge thing, and I'm like, what? You can call down fire? I'm going to have to look into it, because
I don't
think Keegan knows he can...
Well, and I don't know if that applies to Kill Team.
I don't think it will.
40K only.
I don't think it will, because it's arena-type stuff. So.
Yeah, but we're going to... I mean, with us doing the arenas, we're stuck to the confines of the missions, mission parameters. So if the mission doesn't allow reserves, you're not going to have reserves. If the mission doesn't allow... shoot scouting phase, you're not going to have a scouting phase, which we don't generally use the scouting phase anyway, because most of the stuff we do is freeform, and scouting phase is actually kind of annoying to me. There are benefits to it, but there's a lot of pitfalls to it too. If you're not using the right terrain, the scouting phase is kind of pointless. A big wide open terrain is almost useless using the scouting phase, because there's nowhere you to hide somebody. There's also no way for you to set traps or deactivate traps, because there's nothing to set traps. You're just kind of wide open. So it's very mission-specific. I think it'll play more in arena. You were saying there's other things like exploding stuff in arena and stuff. I haven't read that yet.
Well, the crates and the barrels and certain ones, like you can detonate and they do area damage.
Yep.
So
that's going to be mission-specific,
well,
too.
It's going to be how do you play, because you got to be careful what cover you're using for cover, but we'll have to...
Unless you're playing the Space Marines with invulnerable saves, then who cares?
That is true.
It's a 3+. The thing blows up, I roll a 3 or better, I don't care. Yep, that blew up in my face, so what?
So what? Yeah.
No. I
true.
There is with the advent of elites, the Space Marines got to be what they're supposed to be. Your intercessors are tough. But when you get Terminator armor with, you know, 3 or 4 points of damage, a 2+ save, a 3+ invulnerable save, and a -4 AP damage D6 weapon that you just walk up and hit them with, You know, definitely, it's doing strength eight.
We definitely just got to start. We've been talking about in several podcasts doing. We have some videos up, actually more videos than I thought we did, but we really do need to do some. Show people what it is, and then they can see if they want to get into it or not. And then plus, some of the other like Evie was talking about video games. So
yeah, Evie does want to do a little more. Now Evie also does want to do a Pokemon card game discussion because we've been playing that a lot.
Well, why not? It's a game channel.
I'm totally down with that.
Card games are welcome. Yep.
I want to, I'm going to just throw this out here. I want to take a look at, it escapes me, so give me 1 second to look at it again. Because it was just, I was just watching a video on it now for.
You know what I hate anyways?
It's Age of Sigmar Warcry.
Yeah, which, Warcry is,
it looks like sort of Age of Sigmar's version of Kill Team.
Like choose a, all I seen was it show up in the Google because Google's well here is what you want to look
tabletop
at.
Tabletop Minions, he just did kind of a review or just kind of an overview of boxing it and looking. But it sounds like other than, you know, some very different rules because you've got magic and everything else, it seems like, you know, Age of Sigmar's version of Kill Team. While I'm not going to dive feet first into this because I have other things to do, it is something that might behoove me to do the same way I'm doing with Adeptus Titanicus, just kind of start buying the box set stuff and having it so when we can get around to it. I've got quite a bit either now or coming for Adeptus Titanicus, but I don't want to delve into playing because we have other things going, but I want to have the stuff so when we decide to play it, we've got it.
Yeah, you and know? That's the key there. Is.
I learned that with the original Titan Legion stuff, the original Adeptus Titanicus, I got into the game too late and I couldn't get half the stuff without spending a lot on eBay or whatever. And back at the time, that was, you know, eBay was still relatively new back then. So you didn't have a lot of options. Nowadays, you can buy the stuff for $20 or $30, but the miniatures are not the same scale. They're not even the same miniatures.
Yeah.
You know, the name's the same. You can use it, but it's not great. The old game is a brilliant game. And I see a lot of people who had the stuff or still have it are bringing it back to play it as more or less for nostalgia reasons. But it's just way different. It's cool. It's the same with the Epic 40K, which they've never re-released. I mean, that's, you're talking miniatures that are, you know, they're smaller than your Team Yankee miniatures. You've got squads of Space Marines.
That's because you can field a lot on the table.
You can field a ton of them. But they worked with the Adeptus Titanicus stuff scale-wise so you could run these giant titans with your army.
And just not step on them.
Yeah. Well, sometimes that happened too.
They're also trying to appeal miniatures to,
yeah,
you know, people that have never seen them, never got them.
And that's one of the reasons why we're doing what we do now is to appeal the old miniatures, the new miniatures. Know me, I like role-playing and I like miniatures. Those are my two favorites. I don't hate video games, but they are not my favorite. They're not my...
Your forte.
Ultimate go-to, yeah. I mean, I do have my favorite games, and I can talk in-depth about Halo. I can talk in-depth about Sniper Elite or Borderlands.
I know you know. I know you like Sniper Elite.
Oh, I love Sniper Elite. I'm actually considering buying the remasters because I found they added more content to the remasters. So it might be worth me buying them. No, I'm not going to buy them at $60 new. I'll wait till they drop a little bit in price. That's the same thing with, like, the Call of... What is it? Call of Duty World War II? I think it was Call of Duty. There was one they did that was a World War II one. One of the big, normal, main ones. I'm cool with that. I'd like to try it, but I'm not going to pay $40 or $50 for it. Comes up on a sale for $20. Comes up, you know, finding the used store for $25. Maybe I'll buy it.
Yeah.
But that's
well, the games you like are generally not, well, Halo is multiplayer on some, but you like more like the story type.
I love, you know, Fallout. Fallout is my favorite, but I will not touch Fallout 76. I just won't.
Although I hear they're trying to fix it.
I hear they
as rapidly as possible.
But I also heard that a couple guys just completely converted it to Fallout 4 so you could play everything in Fallout 76 and Fallout 4 as a DLC or an expansion, you know, as a mod.
Well, they have a huge modding community. Yeah, there's a lot of guys that mod with that. So with the Fallout games.
I'm sorry to say this. I don't like the direction Bethesda went with it. I don't like the fact that they're sticking to their guns in it. I get that they invested a lot of money into it, but I don't feel they really took into consideration what the fans wanted. They just said, "Well, here, you're going to get this." and then you didn't even make it. And then the fans who like the multiplayer online battle stuff didn't. I don't know if my team picking that up.
Well, I don't know if you guys can hear us. We tried to stay out of the heat.
Yeah.
So we're doing this last minute kind of in the house. So I'm sure, I don't know if you've heard the dogs panting because it's over 100 degrees.
Yeah.
And now the neighbor for the last several minutes decides because it's 105, he's going to be out there on his riding lawnmower and it sounds really bad. I don't know if you guys can hear it.
Yeah.
Hopefully not.
The mic's
but
not
it's,
picking it up.
It's kind of annoying.
It's funny. I'm just tuning out.
It's ironic.
It is.
Here we had a chance to sit down like, what are you doing? It's 8 o'clock at night, our time.
Yeah.
And
you're mowing the lawn.
And you're out there cutting the grass in 100
degrees.
Degree.
105 heat index. I think it's still probably 98 degrees, to be honest.
And it's going to get hotter tomorrow.
Yeah, it's
going
to suck tomorrow. Glad I'm going to be in the air conditioning.
Oh. Yeah.
Let's see. What is there any other games? Because, you know, we're going to
do a lot.
Oh,
there's tons of games. Well,
I'm just trying to think what else we want to touch on. Because I know the tripods, I'm going to kind of save that for when we actually get it and we can start really looking into it. We're going to definitely do an unboxing on that one and go through and kind of explain what I see. I told Dee, because I'm getting a new starter box with that, a brand new World War I starter box comes with that Kickstarter. I don't need two starter sets. So, you know, the World War I box that didn't have any miniatures, it was just the cards and the templates and the dashboard and everything.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give Dee my old starter box because I don't need it. There's no point. She's interested in playing it, and, you know, I might as well give her the starter box, and if she wants to buy a couple planes, great. She wants to use the planes we have, that's fine, too. The nice thing with tripods and tripod release, a lot more planes for World War One just dropped, and they did announce that beginning next year, they're going to do re-releases and some new releases for the World War II planes. I also did notice they are offering, as an expansion pack, you can buy the World War II tokens and rules for playing tripods and triplanes in World War II. I get that with my Kickstarter. I also get all the upgraded tokens, which are the plastic instead of the little cardboard. So I get all that. I also believe I get the upgraded rulers, the actual die-cut rulers versus
that'd be cool.
The cardboard. I imagine the starter box will come with the cardboard ones like, you know, most of them do. But the Kickstarter comes with all the extra. I got a lot of extra. Pretty sure I got the bags too, the damage counter bags. You know, you have the damage counter bags for like Sails of Glory. So, because World War II, Wings of Glory, World War II uses the tokens like Sails of Glory does, not the cards.
Now, I only
like
got
World
to play
War
that
I.
with you once. You
yeah,
Evie
and I
out.
Played World War II.
Yeah, because you got me into the World War One Wings of Glory, and then the kids like that. And everybody I've showed likes it because it's really
simple,
it's fun.
And the aliens shouldn't make it much more difficult. The interesting thing, so now we're going to rant on tripods, triplanes a little bit. The aliens have to manage their resources. You're not going to shoot your laser beam every turn. You're not going to have your energy shield up every turn. You have energy tokens that the aliens earn.
So they're gonna, whoever plays aliens will have to be careful on
and
how
you
they
have
manage everything.
Limited movement cards for them.
Okay.
They can only make so much movement. Most of it is turning. Most of it is moving forward one and turning a direction. And then your laser beam, at least on some of the aliens, it's a fixed forward weapon. So if you turn and your front is no longer facing a plane, you're not shooting. But you have the option to put up your shield around you.
Okay.
Well. So it's kind of interesting. I haven't delved completely into the rules, but I like what the concept they're going with it. It's not easy to topple an alien, but it's not impossible. It's also not easy for an alien just to shoot a plane out of the sky in one shot. It's possible if you get the same with both World War One and World War Two, you draw that damage counter.
Well,
that,
the one damage card is a destroy card.
Yeah,
yeah,
you
so
know,
you,
and you get a token that's that way for the World War Two stuff too. You draw that, you're done. Your plane's going crashy, crashy out of the sky, and that's all there is to it. So it's interesting how they're handling that with the alien. But you spend your energy. So you have to spend it wisely because you don't replenish it instantly. You're not going to do all this each turn. Certain effects, and each alien's energy shields, their weapons, cost different. And I only have the two aliens coming, the two main ones. I need to go ahead and just get on miniature market and pre-order the other two. Because they won't do any retail shipment until all the Kickstarter stuff is done. I do got to give Ares props for that. Retail is not getting any of their stuff until all the Kickstarter is fulfilled. So the Kickstarter gets everything first. than
well,
the
that's
stores.
The way it should be, though.
And that's the way it
absolutely,
should be.
Absolutely, because the stores shouldn't be getting it before and the people that invested to bring it out get it. Yeah.
I think part of that is, too, so they can pull from some of the retail stock if they have to fix or replace something with the Kickstarter. So if somebody's, one of somebody's box of aliens broken, they can pull one from the retail side to put into the Kickstarter side and deal with it from there. So I think it's kind of resource management on their part, too.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, but then once that fulfills, everyone's going to be selling. And I bet you Miniature Market, Noble Knight, all the other ones that I deal with, they're going to sell out fast. So I should probably just go ahead and get a gift card, like a prepaid Visa card or something, and pre-order those other two aliens I don't have, otherwise I probably won't get one right away.
Well, if you pre-order it, it's paid for. It's paid for. When it comes into them, they're going to ship it to
you. They'll charge
yeah.
the card when it ships, but I'm guaranteed to get it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I should probably do that. Plus, I might order a couple of the other planes I didn't get in the Kickstarter because I didn't really need the planes. I mean, I've got 15 planes for World War One. They're no different. They're the ones that are coming in the tripod and triplane is just the repaints of the same plane. Stats are actually the same. They're just a repaint. And that's
well,
cool.
But you already have enough. So basically, you
I
need the
enough.
Aliens
yeah.
and the rules for the
aliens.
The
rules for the aliens. That's what I needed. But, you know, I backed at a high level because you got so much good stuff. And I got that rare Red Baron plane because, you know, I like to collect all the Red Baron planes. So, I mean, really, it just was worth it. But just for what we're getting, we'll be able to play for just forever.
Yeah.
And I like that it is bringing more planes back out to the market because people have been getting into the game, but then they can't find the planes. And that was my big gripe about Ares, is you guys made this non-collectible miniature game, and then you didn't produce anything, making it collectible, and people are paying ridiculous money for planes on eBay or whatever, just so they have planes.
That's because I mean, the problem is they don't, in their mind, probably thinking, there's not enough sales for us to make all these. But the ones that do want to buy it are end up paying premium prices.
Yeah.
And it's deterring yeah. other people from getting in. Because it's a smaller, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and they're a smaller company focusing on
yeah.
Battlestar Galactica and some of their other games, too.
They have other things.
They've got, I have a feeling they're almost, I'm going to say almost, getting into the too many irons in the fire front. But then look at how well Battlestar Galactica is doing, and there's a lot coming for that, and that might
that just
worth.
Looks nicer and nicer the more I look at it. So I'm gonna have to get
we're
the starter set.
We might have to,
yeah.
yeah, get into that. Not that I don't hate Battlestar Galactica; it just was never my big thing. But
well, I just remember watching
I'm
the older
kinda,
episodes,
yeah.
and I watched the newer ones they had. So it's just to me, it'd be interesting because I like the series. I wasn't like a fanatic about it, but
yeah.
I like science fiction stuff. So,
yeah, so
I thought
I'm
that
kinda
was that might be kind of cool.
It.
I would do it.
I every now and then I do check on Spartan Games because they did put out the Firestorm Armada, which is a giant ship battle game with some awesome miniatures. They're still in production with the new company that purchased them. They are re-releasing a lot of stuff, and when that does hit, man, I'm going to go whole hog on that one and upgrade my forces. So that's going to be a large scale, and when I say large scale, that's going to be like X-Wing scale ship battles.
Speaking of which, we're going
to
do another show on the X-Wing because...
Yeah.
They just released some stuff that I'd have to talk to you about before we sit here and do this because otherwise I have enough knowledge to be dangerous, but it changes the gameplay.
Oh, I bet.
And exponentially.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that'll be cool.
It'll make it up to like officially like up to 8 players or something
oh,
like
wow.
that.
Wow.
So
that's
it's
cool.
It's designed to be 2. I mean, when we
yeah.
do it, we kind of do a free for all.
Yeah.
But, I would have to dig the article up and show you. It's really interesting. We'll do another podcast
yeah,
on
we'll
that.
Have to do on that one.
I'd
then.
Like to just do a little
I
more
I still
research.
Have everything sitting there, and some of those boxes I just never opened, but I know I'll use them, like that Decimator. I've never opened it, but I have it.
Well,
I will use it.
Played against the wife's brother, Troy. He yeah. had his.
Yeah.
That thing is...
It's brutal.
It's like yeah. a little plow, and you... I mean, you know, it's just... Yeah. It was worth
yeah.
his money to get it, because
yeah.
when you field it, you're just...
I can just, oh look, this pilot can just run into things. Yes.
Yes, and when you run into stuff, it does damage. You don't
yeah.
hit them, you just run into them.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about, are they in range? You ran into them.
Yeah, you just
yeah.
boop, up, crib check.
Yeah, basically with a ship. So.
All right. That is all I have for the moment. We should probably.
Yeah, we'll end this one here.
One, yeah. I mean, I do want to get back to talking Kill Team once we get a little more.
Well, we have some video game suggestions people gave, too. We're going to do some of those that we have to.
I do want to still do the Pokemon Go. I still need to download the app so I can record the screen on my phone.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. So you can put some up on the video channel and people can see what you're doing.
I'm going to use my camera to record some of our Pokemon card game. Because Eevee and I just have the Pokemon, the Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu decks, which are kind of like introductory starter decks. One's a fire deck, one's a lightning deck.
Well, she's got to like that because her name is Eevee.
She is, and she loves her Eevees. And I want to build her an Eevee deck. I want to actually figure out what you're allowed, because I think you're only allowed four of any one Pokemon. So I want her to have four Eevees, then four of each one of their evolved forms, which means she would be playing multiple. She'd be doing electric, water, fire, ice.
She's just
going
to cover it, yeah.
So the thought was basically build her deck out of colorless energy. So I'll take all of her energy cards and replace most of them with colorless. And then maybe a few water, a few fire, a few ice. So that she can just run almost nothing but Eevees and their evolved forms in this quick play deck. Then I can actually have the fire deck that I want because she's using all the fire stuff.
So isn't that funny how it benefits you there, Dad?
Yeah, it
huh?
does. Yeah, well, Dad's the one paying
here.
For it. So
privilege. No. I'm just saying. That's cool.
Yeah, I want her to have an Eevee deck, but I need Eevees in my deck to play my fire deck because I want the fire versions of Eevee. She has the Charizards and that, and I want that.
Yeah.
I have certain Pokemon. I want my deck built by the Pokemon I want to play. My electric deck is going to have Pikachu, but I want Volt Orbs or I want Electabuzzes. I want other, I want a Vulpix in my fire deck so I can have a Ninetales.
What we need to do is just win the lottery and retire and play games.
Yeah,
not,
there we go.
We just do this whole working thing. Yeah.
So it'd be like, oh, time to go do a podcast. Let's go get some coffee at Starbucks. And
why do you guys look happy? Because we are.
Why wouldn't we look happy? What? Oh, I'm sorry. You have to go to work. Oh, we're going to just sit in the office and we're going to play this game for an hour or two, and then we're just going to record it, and then maybe we're going to go out and do some Pokemon Go or something. So, I don't know. I wish. But
One day,
I hope that we're doing gaming more, maybe working
eventually,
a little
less. Maybe we could get this to where we can do it more.
So
who knows?
I mean, I can always, I'm in a stable work environment, at least now, with good hours, so I don't have to worry about that.
You're hoarding all that gold.
Oh, yeah.
Under the bed.
Well,
you just got to crack into that. I'm taking that with me. That I can see you
doing.
You're just
going to fill my coffin with
gold. You ain't getting this. This is tokens from the old 1800s coins. And no one's getting them. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, indeed. And I do want to discuss. I want us to sit down and have an RPG discussion. What I want to do is bring in some old gaming books, old rule books, and have you look at them and talk about them. Just the main rule books.
Not the role-playing that I have to do every day when I go to work, where I role-play.
No,
on,
you don't have to roll dice for this. You just enjoy
company.
Looking at books of really cool stuff.
Some of it in color, even. They have books in color now?
Yeah, some of it. Well, my Rift's main book, about a fifth of it's color. Some really cool artwork in that.
Wow.
So
I heard about those colored books. And then they have the TVs now.
Yeah,
with
the TVs
fancy
have color now, too. Yeah.
Don't say.
And you don't even have to use rabbit ears anymore with tinfoil on them. They got a cable you just hook to the side of the house, and it does it for you, at least for now.
Cable. But I like the metal pole sticking out of the back of the TV.
Yeah, well.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, well.
Anyways.
And you can upgrade your little hamsters. They don't have to run on the wheel to turn everything and make it work anymore. They have this thing called steam now that's boiling water that turns those.
Does the hamsters don't have to do it. Ruin the TV?
Well, no, you don't put it near the TV.
Oh.
That's what the wires are for. You can actually stand it away.
I wouldn't worry about water and wires and power and electricity?
We delved deep into the sarcasm pool there.
Well, no, but it's because of our minds.
We're old and,
we're not old, but geez, man.
We're old enough to believe that technology is not the end-all be-all. No, not new technology, at least.
Yeah.
So
it has many drawbacks, but it there's good things to it, but like everything, they take the good and they turn it.
Non-electronic technology.
Yeah.
Funny how the design for the Colt 1911 is still prevalent today, even though it was built in 1911.
They don't make digital. Well, they do make digital stuff like that in the World War II games and stuff.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they did. Well, going through that World War II plane that I put up on Facebook, looking at the analog radio and the stuff that they used to, because they restored all the original radio equipment to that plane. I'll have to show you the photos when I can pull them from the camera.
But that stuff worked.
Oh, yeah. It still works today.
The thing with today is people, and people will complain, but what happens? If you lose the internet, nothing works. Now, that's the one thing I'm against. Why does my Xbox have to be connected to the internet for me to game? I bought it to game. I didn't buy it to where I had to, you know.
Just like your phone.
Now the things me and Clint game with more or less anymore, the miniatures, if you have a storm and the power's out for the night, well, they're redoing the lines, you can still game.
Yep.
You know, you're not...
Funny, those candle things still work.
Yeah, and you can still do a lot of the stuff. But, I mean, I'm not against technology, just...
I'm not. I just don't rely on it. We need to 100% rely on it. It can't be everything.
People are out there thinking, oh my God, they're dancing around like cavemen. No, we're not cavemen. I mean, we are doing a podcast, so...
We're using technology. You're not getting a psychic link from us.
If we could do a psychic link to several hundred followers,
we wouldn't
be working. We would have far more things going on than...
Dance, John, dance. Okay, inside joke. You guys don't get that, but that would be freaking hilarious.
Especially if he heard the podcast. Anyways.
Does not break my heart any. One, he can't do anything to me. I don't care. Two, realistically, legally, he can't do anything to you either.
Yeah, that's true. For a different day.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, you guys...
I don't want to have a Let's Complain About Work podcast, because...
No, because we do that every day.
We do that every day, and I don't complain about my job anymore, and I don't want to complain about my job, because I don't have a lot of complaints about it.
Do you know, on the side note, a few people did send in saying that they liked the podcast on what coffee we're drinking at.
Yes, we need to do another coffee one.
Do a Joys of Coffee or something.
Maybe figure a few blends that we like and talk about those.
Yeah, that would work.
A few blends slash roasters, brewers, what coffee, whatever you want to call it. I can't think of the term. But yeah, we do need to have another commute where we discuss. We need to have a commute where we take the listener to the coffee shop with us, order our coffee.
People in the coffee shop be like, there's Clint and Greg. What are they doing?
Just pop that bad boy in your pocket, your portable recorder, just like so the mic is sticking out enough, and we just go. Because it's, as long as we don't name names.
The little one you have that you just got.
It disappears in my pocket.
It'll work,
but it's down here somewhere, and so it does. When it's in my pocket, you can hear the fabric rubbing against the mic. So
yeah, we need to adjust the sensitivity.
Funny thing, I'm designing a holder on my lanyard for that to clip into. So it'll sit here hanging off my lanyard.
That'd work.
Yeah. I just clip it onto my work lanyard with some metal alligator clips. Just a little clip that it drops into. And then I just put a little Velcro strap around it so it can't slide. But
that's
I can still get to the switch. And then I just take the alligator clips and I clip it to my... And I'm actually doing this. You guys can't see it. But
yeah,
I clip it to my lanyard. And then it's hanging right down here about where my belly is. And the mic will pick me up just fine.
Do like an undercover podcast. They wouldn't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Look at those crazy people over there talking to themselves.
Yep.
Why are they so loud?
I work downtown. People do that all the time. In fact, downtown people lose arguments to themselves and get mad about losing the argument to themselves over how many cans were in the trash can. Yes, I witnessed that happened. That was hilarious.
My God. Well,
yeah.
We got off the game subject. Sorry, guys. It's just us. So. But...
Yeah, we should probably wrap this one.
We'll wrap this one up, and then, you guys, the group now, one last update. The group's at 101 people. Another person joined today, and that was from two. Our Facebook page now has over 230 followers.
Nice.
And so we would like a few more followers on our podcast, but the funny thing with that is we don't have a lot of, quote, followers, but, man, we're getting downloads. People are listening who aren't necessarily following, but...
Well, and that might change eventually. I know I'm gonna set that recorder down. I'm going to figure out how to set it, and I'm going to start doing the behind-the-screen stuff that's not going to be garbly or loud or...
I think terrible. It's just...
And whatever you did to that one we tested with Evie and I, that sounded really good.
Well, when I ran it through the program here... And
yeah, when
I,
you cleaned it up a little. So I'm going to dial down the volume, and there's no background noise reduction set on that. When I looked into that, it was set to off.
It should be,
yeah.
Well, yeah, because
I just have to turn it on.
If it's set to off, it picks up everything.
Yep.
So you can't buy it and complain it didn't pick anything up.
Oh,
so.
No. Yeah, Yeah.
I would turn it to mono.
I'm gonna go through.
Because you don't need a stereo
recording. There's a few
recording.
Other things I need to set on it as well. I think that there's some features it does that I just won't ever need.
Yeah.
Or very rarely will I need it. The nice thing now is I can use it as a backup for my D&D group if the other mic fails. But I've got that little conference mic I showed you, and it picks up everybody in the room. It picks up everything in the room, including the dogs, the kids that won't be quiet when I'm recording.
So it's too high a sensitivity on the background.
It's sensitive, but it's stuff I can edit, so I don't care. That I don't generally have a problem with. And it does record everybody's conversation in the middle of the room. I mean, it's a conference mic, so it does exactly that. But you can hear me just as clearly as you can hear Ivory, who is across the room.
So when you're doing your group, you can hear everybody regardless of where they're at with that particular mic.
With that mic,
which is
we
good.
Can hear the dogs in the other room playing.
You can try to cut that
I can,
out.
No, I can edit. That's easy. Because usually by the time that you hear the jingling, none of us are talking at that second. And it's like, oh, well, here's about 2 seconds of audio. I'll just clip out and do who cares.
Well, you got to remember, too, we're not in some professional stereo closed studio. We're average people doing this because we like to do it. And that's all. I mean, so you're going to have like this. I'm sorry. You might have heard the neighbor mowing the grass.
Yeah.
You may have heard the dogs in the background here, not barking, but just they're hot.
Yeah.
But that's, you know.
It is.
We're not doing
it
from some penthouse somewhere, you know. It's just,
not yet. Not yet. No.
It's just us.
I never would, to be honest. I'd rather have a studio in a building downtown Marion or something, to be honest. I don't want to pay for one, but I'd rather have that option. Where we just have control over everything. We can just soundproof a small office, put the foam up and cut down the noise, and just have a boom mic set up, have a laptop set up, where we just go in, we put down our coffees, we turn everything on, and like they do where I work now when they do the sports podcasts, everything is set up in that room. You go in, you fire up the, you know, use a Mac, but you fire up the Mac, they've got 2 mics that stretch to the table for the 2 guests, the one person runs it and does the interviews, and he's got a boom mic, very similar
like
to what
this,
we're using, and they discuss sports. They spend half an hour
We need to do
sports.
Our own show, like I was talking about earlier.
We do.
We will let this go, because now what's going to happen is, we should do this while we're live streaming, just a general conversation, and we have and are looking into setting up so that those of you out there listening
indeed.
Can participate. Slightly something different than what you're used to.
I think that would be good to, at the very least, give them the option to pop up messages so we can see read what they're saying.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Well, that everybody could do, but this is gonna. I'm looking at stuff to take it a little bit further, they could become involved in it. But yeah.
Yeah, I like it because we do have a lot of people now who are way. I mean, I don't know where everyone in our groups are at right now, but a lot of them are several thousand miles from here.
Yeah, but that's the thing is we're all games on every level. So, if you're listening and you've never heard us,
if we could reach out to other countries, even say Italy, for example, I rant enough about Aries, we can reach out to the people there more so than we are. And I'm trying with the people who are fans of the Aries and the Wings of Glory and the Sails of Glory their Facebook pages. I'm trying to get some of our stuff onto their Facebook pages, stuff, photos of stuff we're playing, photos of stuff that tie to our site. Links from our site to them, I can draw a lot more of those specific gamers in. Because I think, really, Wings of Glory, Sails of Glory are very underrated here in the United States.
They're hugely underrated. They're just... I will say that they're hugely underrated because people look at it and go, it's one of those games where when you play it, you're like, why didn't I play this 20 years ago?
It's so simple. Yeah. You can play it, you can make it hard as hard as you want or as easy as you want. You can get a game done in 20 or 30 minutes. My 8-year-old daughter played the game with me, and we played it in 25 minutes. She'd never played before.
Game takes about an hour.
It does,
we take our time, too. Like, we don't try to, we're going to get this done in 30 minutes.
Yeah,
but.
And I know we did the one recording with Evie, and she had a lot of fun playing it.
Yeah.
So.
Sometimes you need time limits. That's one thing I like about Kill Team is you're doing X amount of rounds.
Yeah.
It's over in 4 rounds, so. It's going to take 30 or 40 minutes, but it's not going to take you all day.
Yes.
But it's done in an amount of time you can get done. So. Good God, we have a lot to talk about.
We do. We generally do. So we'll call this one here.
All right. So. You guys have a good night. And if you're out there in the heat, stay safe because it's really nasty. in some areas of the country. And
so others are getting storms and high winds.
Yeah,
and
so be careful, yeah, you guys. Be careful. Watch it.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate you joining us. It's late. It's been a long day. I've been up since 4 a.m. So
we'll post this. I'll set it up. I'll clean it up tonight and post it for, like, an auto post about 9 in the morning.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll get to it eventually. I have Jenny Moore anymore. I listen to it before I go to bed, so.
Well, okay.
It helps me sleep.
Really. All right.
Not really. I'm kind of awake for the
then
whole podcast.
Then you're like, I forgot to say this.
No, it hasn't been so bad, but yeah, we're going to get to some point where we're like, oh, no, I want to do this. So it's going to be really bad when I start doing the
behind
the screen stuff.
Well, we can just expand it as much as we want. The problem is we're working a lot.
Yeah.
And we just need time, and time is like...
I'm getting now with that recorder, I can maybe start doing my behind the screen stuff during my lunch. Just sit out in the car.
Well, that's because that's your little area there, and I think you should do that. That's what we were talking about, is you can do that, because there's areas I know a lot about, and there's areas you know a lot, and between the two of us, we're good. And then, of course, there's everybody else who can throw in more knowledge that neither one of us know and add to it, and we're good.
And we definitely need to get, like, maybe Evan as an example to do a little more on the video game stuff that we don't normally play.
Let's see. Now, I have talked to him, in case you guys don't know Evan. As a Facebook moderator, really good guy, loves video games.
Yeah.
And I think he would like some of this other stuff, but he's just a very nice person, a good person.
We'll have to maybe take the portable with us, and so we can sit down with Evan and maybe even Darby, because they're big video gamers, and have a video game discussion. Or maybe we'll just do a community.
Well, I have talked to him about it. It's just a matter of meeting up with them.
Just get air conditioning and something.
My goodness, it's getting
this
bad. We can
just kind of do a commute episode with them and just discuss video game stuff. I'd like a fresh perspective. I can't really include Evie because she doesn't,
she's got video game
knowledge, but it's so limited right now.
Your knowledge is more towards the miniatures and this stuff, which is good. Theirs is more towards the videos. That way we get everybody's perspective, and that's the whole point of the group, is for anybody who games. Because if you don't broaden your horizon on games, you're just losing out. I just feel you lose out, because there's some great video games, there's some great tabletop games, there's some great card games, but if you only do one, then you're missing out on the fun you could have with other stuff. So
I found out our neighbor does Ticket to Ride. They play Ticket to Ride a lot. So I want to do something with them, now that I've got that recorder, something with them and get their insights on it. They are not what I expected. They are not the people I expected them to be.
Yeah, so and that's cool. Okay, which is good, because sometimes we're all guilty of thinking, well, maybe that person wouldn't be interested in the game, but they are, you know.
Then you find out, they're very...
They're not the kind of people.
And they're looking for people to do board games with and other things with. And surprisingly, being that they are very religious, they're like, no, I'm just saying, they're of a religious faith. Their church runs a D&D group weekly.
See, that's cool.
And it is really cool. And they want to kind of get into that.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of interest there. So that's really cool. I'll probably have to at some point put together a small D&D scenario for them.
Well,
just to kind of introduce them to it.
That's why focusing on what you were talking about doing with your role-playing stuff, and you've been doing that most of your life, would be good. So if I would figure out your mic, because it's a nice mic.
Yeah.
Clint got a really good deal on it. The one I bought for us is a Tascom.
Yeah.
But the one he got, I think he got a really good deal on.
It's not as nice as yours, but still, it'll do what it needs to do.
It does. That's
the
key.
It was more affordable for me, and that was the thing.
I would just take it off stereo, because in interviews, we're not doing musical instruments, so we don't need stereo.
Yeah.
And could you imagine us going from one person's ear to the other? I mean,
that might be kind of fun, but
you're like a 3D podcast.
I see your point. Yeah,
3D for your ears.
Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. All right, we better wrap there before we really go downhill.
You guys have
a good one.